For the believer, is prayer an optional piece of the armor of God? Of course not. Without prayer, our battle against Satan is a failing effort. The Apostle Paul shares views about prayer in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 18 through 20. And now, Pastor Jerry Seawright concludes his series on the armor of God with today's sermon called Powered by Prayer. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Powered by prayer. The verses that we will cover today is from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 18 through 20. And I will read those verses. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is coming from Paul. And just by way of introduction, I know many of us adults have put together toys. And I know most projects occur during Christmas time, where we spend hours and hours looking at directions, trying to figure out what goes where. We dig in our toolboxes and we try to find the right screwdriver and the right wrench for the job, only to tighten the screw too much to where it just wiggles around in that hole and it's totally stripped. Right? And once you kind of like deciphered all of the directives and all the directions in German and Spanish and French and English, and you finally get that part that's stamped capital MM that's supposed to go to the left side, and you switch that around to the part that is stamped capital LL for the right side, and you kind of like just get that all together. Once you've done all that, you sit down and you get ready to play with it because you want to play with it first. Right? You get ready to play with it and it says batteries not included. Womp womp. Right? Batteries not included. Well, unfortunately, the Christian dilemma is sadder, right? See, in a very real sense, we've taken our place on the battlefield, and we're standing there geared up, right? Our loins are girded with truth, and we are protected front and back by the breastplate of righteousness, and we said in recent weeks, it's not our righteousness, but it's his righteousness, right? And then we have on our gospel shoes, meaning that we are ready. We stand and our footing is sure and we are well grounded. And matter of fact, this is so that we can go into enemy territory to take the message to them, to take that good news to them. And then we have that shield of faith, right? That shield of faith to ward off all of those fiery darts that come our way, right? And then we also have that helmet of salvation that protects our minds and gives us hope for the future. And we have that sword of the Spirit, and which is the Word of God. And we hide that in our hearts that we may not sin against him, right? And although we have all of this, right, Paul tells us that batteries are included, right? But we don't put them in. We don't put them in. Kind of reminds me of this time when I was watching a fight, and it was a prize fight, and the brother was doing real good. Every time he just hit the other guy with the uppercut, you know, it got in there, and you saw his head just nod back. And all of a sudden, he got away from using the uppercut. And the guy started tagging him left and right, and I'm there saying, use the uppercut, man. Use the uppercut, right? And he's just getting toe up, you know, and I'm like, use the uppercut. After the fight, he lost it real bad. After the fight, even the announcer said, why didn't you use the uppercut? He said, well, I don't know. I don't know, you know, I wasn't thinking, you know. And it's like that. We got this powerful thing there, and we just say, use it. I mean, let me break it down to even more for the young adult men so you can get it. It's like playing Call of Duty. And you are going through all enemy territory and everything else, and you never pull out a weapon. It's like you're just there and you say, I got it. And you're just trying to duck and dodge the bullets. I got it. I got it. I'm good. And they got these bazookas just trying to kill you. And you're like, I got it. I'm good. And you never pull out a weapon. Saints, those batteries, those uppercuts, those weapons are our prayers, and we don't use them. Paul is telling us clearly that this battle cannot be won by power, your power, or your might, right? But by his Spirit, right? And he tells us first that we should pray constantly. We should pray constantly. He uses the word always, and always signifies an ideal that we should be in the atmosphere of prayer, right? Obviously, you can't, you know, pray every single minute and every single moment. I'm just think if you're at work, and if you're at work and I'm meeting with my clients, I can't be praying every single moment while I'm meeting with them, but I can be in that atmosphere of prayer. Amen? Be in that atmosphere of prayer. You know, they have a thing on college campuses now where they said when you're walking by yourself and you're walking alone, just call a friend, right? Call a friend and just have them online, and you're just talking to them. And if somebody come, you know, they're right there, right? Well, that's how prayer is. You know, Worsby said, it's like not hanging the phone up, but keeping it off the hook, right? And that's what you're doing. You're just keeping that phone off the hook, and you can just hurry up and call on him, right? You don't have to, like, call yourself dialing him up. It's like right there, right? The atmosphere of prayer is what we're talking about. Now, constantly does not mean that it's without variance, right? That's why he uses two words, prayer and supplication. Prayer is talking about general prayers, right? General prayers. But supplication is talking about specific requests for God's benefits, right? And sometimes, yeah, you want to pray in general, right? But sometimes, saints, I need you all to pray for me specifically. Right, specifically. I need a specific word from you all going up to God. Amen? For his benefits, right? Prayer can take the form of thanksgiving and asking, requesting special things, and also intercession, right? So although we are to constantly be in the atmosphere of prayer, sometimes we are sending these arrows up just like Nehemiah. Remember, Nehemiah was standing before the king. Nehemiah didn't have time to go into a room and just say, oh, Lord, help me out. No, Nehemiah sent a quick one up, right? And he said, Lord, please don't let this man cut and chop my head off, but I want to ask him a request, right? And he sent a quick one up there. Sometimes we got to send a quick arrow up there. So it varies, right? And it has some variance to it. But secondly, what I want you all to understand this too is about constant, about being constant, is this, is that the Holy Spirit is involved. The Holy Spirit empowered. Now that is constant, right? That's not a variant thing. He is there and he empowers our prayers, right? You know, a lot of people can pray, but do they pray in the Spirit, right? We pray, right? In fact, in Romans, we know the formula is we pray to the Father through the Son, right? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? A lot of people pray, and they can pray fervently in the flesh, right? Pray fervently in the flesh. Tears out. You know, it reminds me of Mount Carmel. Right? And those folks were cutting themselves and everything else trying to pray to Baal, right? Oh, Baal. Right? Oh, Baal. Right? And it got nowhere. Praying fervently in the flesh. But we're talking about praying fervently in the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. Now, because we are mindful of the fact that the victory is not through our power, but is through God's power, we are not only to pray constantly, but we are to pray competently. 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 You know, he uses the word watching. Watching implies that you are alert, right? You're trying to see what's up. You are alert. In other words, the enemy can't catch you slipping off guard, right? He can't catch you off guard. You are in tune with things. And not only are you in tune with things in your life, but you are also in tune with others as well. You're also in tune with others and their needs as well. And you don't want to put up any type of rote prayer, mindless prayer, like, oh, Father, please, you know. Like most people do their food now, right? They say it so quick, like, Lord bless you, Jesus wept, right? Thank you. And then they eat this food, right? Right? You know, no mindless thing going on. Saints, I don't need your mindless prayers. I need your mindful prayer going up to God on behalf of me. Amen? And you got to know, you got to be watchful, you got to be alert, you got to be attentive to what's going on. It's funny because Satan got a lot of strategies out there. The enemy got a lot of strategies. I was talking to a brother this week, and he said something that really sunk into me. He said this, he said, the enemy wants you to focus on what you don't have. The enemy wants you to focus on what you don't have. And I was like, wow, brother, I got to sit back and chew on that one. That was good. That was good. The enemy don't want you to focus. He wants you to focus on what you don't have. And I told him I would take credit for it when I said it. I said, you know, I'll just tell him, you know, it came to me when I was in Pontiac. It was that good. It was that good. It was that good. And think about it. If you're not aware, if you're not competent of what's going on and the fact that you are in a war, you will mindlessly go through things getting duped and duped and duped again by the enemy, right? Matter of fact, you'll start looking at one another sideways, not realizing that the enemy is at work, but you'll literally think that it's that person that's at work, right? And you don't want to pray for that person. You don't want to pray for that person because you don't look at it as the enemy, but you look at it as that individual, right? So we want us to be not only consistent, or constant, I'm sorry, in our prayers, but he also wants us to be competent in our prayers. And the last one is consistency. Consistency. But let me go back once again, though, because I just thought of something. Once it comes to constant, and once it comes to competence, see, the thing is this. We have a lot of Christians that are on the sideline. And they aren't involved mentally, physically, or any other way. But they are just, like I said, mindlessly going through this thing. And I ran upon a term that was real interesting. They call it spiritual, T-O-R-P-O-R. Torpor. T-O-R-P-O-R. P-O-R. And here's the definition of that. Sluggish. Inactivity. Lethargic. Indifference. They have suspended physical power and activities and have gone into a state of dormancy like a hibernating animal. You hear that? Gone into a state of dormancy like a hibernating animal. Do we have some hibernating Christians here? They are asleep like Yogi the Bear in a cave somewhere, waiting one day to wake up for some picnic baskets. Right? Paul tells us that we are to be constant in prayer, being in that atmosphere of prayer. Don't hang up the phone. Keep it off the hook because you're going to have to call on him, right? And then he wants us to be competent. Don't be mindless in this thing, in this war that we're going on. We need to pray specifically for some things, right? But he also wants us to be consistent. Pray consistently. And this speaks to perseverance, right? Perseverance meaning keep at it. Stick to it. Why, right? We're reminded of this in Luke, right? Luke, 11th chapter in this parable. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For I have a friend of mine, and he has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to sit before him. And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because his impudence, right, or impudence and puddence and whatever that word is, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. Constantly, competently, consistently, right? I was looking up these words, and constantly, it means it does not stop, though it may vary. Consistent means that it may stop and start, but it does not vary. Consistency. Let me give you another example of consistency. That friend that we just read about, he wasn't always at the door knocking because he didn't necessarily have that specific need constantly. You understand what I'm saying? But when he did have that need, he was consistently there. And he kept knocking. And he kept knocking. And he kept knocking until that answer came. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I need some folks on the team that has that type of tenacity to just keep on knocking. Sometimes folks just keep knocking and knocking and knocking in prayer, and then they get weary and they stop, and it's right before the answer. It's right before the answer. I need you to be consistently knocking. See, that's what we're talking about. Because when you keep knocking and you're knocking for that answer, you keep praying until that answer comes. And God will answer prayer. He will answer prayer. Amen? He will answer prayer. Paul brings us back home by telling us that the victory is not praying just for yourself, but he's saying pray for all saints. He said even pray for me, right? Even pray for me. He's saying pray for all saints. Listen to this prayer. You may have heard it before. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You may have heard that, but this is how most prayers go. My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give me this day my daily bread, and forgive my debts as I forgive my debtors, and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Do you think that the Lord's Prayer was said like that for no reason at all? He says, Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, right? Us, our, is all through that. I'm trying to find an I. I'm trying to find a me. I know I'm included, but I'm trying to find an I or me. In other words, people need to understand that the victory Your victory can also come through praying for others. Right? Your victory can also come through praying for others. It's just not on you. Right? This is a we thing. It's not just a me thing. Right? Your victory can come by praying for others. I wish that I can drive that in. I wish that could be the banner in which this church just has flying there, that we pray for one another. And we pray for one another constantly, competently, and consistently. We're always on our knees for one another. Saints, I have been praying these last few days. And I've been like sending up some lumber. I mean, I've been praying. And I've been praying not in general. I've been praying specifically. I've been praying some supplication, right? Some specific requests to God. And here's the main one, that you all will understand that prayer really works. I want this church to understand that prayer really works. It really works. And I want God to not only show up, because he's already in our midst, right? But I want him to show out. I do. And I want him to let us know if there are any doubters in the mix, to let them know that prayer not only changes things, but it changes us, and it changes our situations, and it changes our circumstance. Amen. Amen? And it changes our circumstance. That's why I am, for these next 30 days, saints, for these next 30 days, I have come upon a book. And I've talked to leadership, some leadership, about this quest. By the way, this is not optional for leadership. But we, for the next 30 days, we're going to pray. And we're going to have specific prayers. And we're going to follow the prayers that are set in this book by Dr. David Jeremiah. He's outlined 30 prayers. You know, I wanted to, Deacon Darren and myself, we talked about it, and we said, you know, we are going to make something up specifically for New Life, and I was going to, you know, get on the horn and record and everything else, and you was going to see me for the 30 days talking to you all on the internet, encouraging you all to pray and everything. And I said, we ain't got time. We ain't got time for that. We don't, and we need a quick fix. We need prayer now. And this was something that I saw, and I said, this will work. So starting Monday, each day, it'll be posted on our website, a prayer. And I'm asking you all to visit that website, to see what that prayer is about. And I'm asking you all to pray with us for the next 30 days. For the next 30 days. They have specific things that we will pray about. And the first one happens to be armor. So tomorrow when you visit the website, you will see armor. Now, if you don't have access to a website, we're going to fix that. Because I want everyone in on this prayer, on this quest of prayer. And I'm believing this, that God is going to show out. Because the whole point of this is that prayer will bring us together. Prayer will bring us together. And I just want you to listen to what he stated in his introduction here. He says, in this book, you'll find 30 insightful prayers geared to our times and appropriate for the hour. The topics touch our lives in every direction. There's a prayer on these pages for the circumstances you face right now. Right now. And I believe that this will answer prayers that are specific to you and that are specific to this church. So, church, we've gone through prayer before in a series, and we're telling you that the armor of God, you can stand on that field, you can stand on that battlefield, all geared up and everything else, but you do not have power if you don't pray. So you can put on the helmet and everything else, but if you don't energize that with prayer, then guess what? You're just like one of those Christmas toys without the battery. You're just like that brother boxer who got his head knocked off because he wasn't using what was working, right? And you're just like that Call of Duty game. You're just going through the whole battlefield. Why are they trying to shoot you and you don't have a gun? You see what I'm saying? So join with me, saints, in prayer.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.